I don't know if I can do this, Mitch. I fucking hate kids. I can't be a teacher.
Oh, my God, I forgot how much it sucks to be around everybody. I think I'm going to be sick all over Kyle. Fuck you!
That's enough!
Oh! Got him!
We all have to quarantine together for 2 weeks. You don't want to infect your families, do you? You were all exposed to a student here who was taken to the hospital due to COVID. Yes.
We were there, and Token was actually taken to the hospital because you guys shot him.
Yes, due to COVID. If it weren't for COVID, all the previous teachers would have still been here, we wouldn't have been in the class, and nobody would have gotten shot.
It was COVID-related.
That doesn't make...
Alrighty, March 28th, 2021. This is the Fakeologist Show. I do this show Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I have a blog called Fakeologist.com. I have another video server, which I just played this COVIDian classroom clip from. I think it was clipped a little too short, but I think you got the gist of it. At Fakeotube.com. And both sites are run by me, and they are separate sites. So if you want to log in, you have to create logins for both. I also do a live stream from this page. If you want to know where I am, go to fakeologist.com/live, and that will show you all the places where you can get the audio live stream, the video live stream, where I'm on FakeoTube, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, DLive, and Twitter. I believe the YouTube channel right here already has a strike. So even if it goes down, I'll just create another one. And this link should still work. Now, because I don't really have a constant place on YouTube, I can't take their super chats. So you can send me super chats at this link here. Streamlabs.com/ I'm a Fakeologist. Just click here. Just go to this fakeologist.com/live. And there's another great way to donate. If you click here, fakeologist.com/donate, where I also take Monero, and we tested it the other night, and it works perfectly. And super low transaction costs. You can, if you're in the United States especially, you can actually take cash to a cash machine located at localmonero.com. They'll tell you where to go, and you can actually buy Monero, which is a super anonymous way to send money. And if you do send it to me, let me know how much it is. And maybe I'm not sure how else to identify it's you, but if you send me the amount, I'll probably figure it out in the time that you sent it, and I should be able to identify it as you. We also take calls. And I recognize this caller. This caller is Uncle Odd. Uncle Odd, hello.
Ab the Fakeologist, how are you?
I'm fine. I haven't heard from you for a while, so I said, well, because I do a daily show and I know you listen to it, you may as well call in and we can update ourselves.
No, it's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy week. Mine ended up with... two times a year, you know, I'm one of those AA dudes. And so
Okay. My
home group and I went on a retreat from Friday to Sunday. So,
oh, nice.
It was more. Yeah. So I just got back. And so I've been unplugged. But I did. I don't know if you've listened to or watched. And I'm sure you have. But Mike Singer's video where the police came to his home.
I did.
I watched that and I was blown away. So the first thing I did was called Mike, and I had about a 20-minute call with him just to give him accolades for that entire, how he articulated everything. I thought it was genius.
Did you get to talk when you called him?
I did.
He's very well spoken. He did a great job. Wow. Can you imagine having a an overpaid audience come and listen to you preach at your front door. It's pretty special.
It was amazing. And I actually, you know, told him that I applauded the police officers too, because they didn't approach him, you know, like he's some wacko, and they weren't chock full of testosterone, didn't behave like, you know, dicks. And I thought it was a good conversation and a good outcome. And I think his message was really, really on point and articulate, and he covered all the bases. We did, after chatting with him for a few minutes, I did tell him, I said, you know, I have boiled it down now, though. I think when you say everything that you said, which was so beautifully worded and said, I just think it goes in one ear and out the other. And I said, you know, it really comes down to something as simple as saying, A, are you law abiding to whomever? And they'll say yes. And saying, okay, that's great. Common ground, me too. B, can you cite the law that I'm breaking? Can you cite the law requiring that I wear a mask? And Mike then started going into all of these ADA and this, and basically what he was telling the officers. And I'm like, that's when I did. I said, Mike, you know, I said, people just aren't listening to that. I said, you got to be, turn yourself into the victim. And the way you do that is you have to turn it around on them and just tell them they said they were law abiding. Cite the law requiring that I wear a mask. And if you can't, then there is no lawbreaker here. And that's me. I'm not breaking the law. Now, we can talk about unlawful arrest, or we can talk about false detention, unlawful detention. But if you can't cite a law saying that I, you know, have to legally wear a mask, then this is all just, you know, play acting right now.
I'll let me play a bit of this. I got on FACOTube.com.
Great.
Okay, let's do that again. You're here from Miami-Dade Police. Can you repeat that for me?
Miami-Dade Police Department, Threat Management Section.
Okay, and you can...
We're here because we want to just talk to you and see if we can help you with anything. Do you need services? You want help? What is it that you want Miami-Dade Police Department to offer you?
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Now, can you say it the way you said it the first time, though?
How did I say it the first time?
The first time when you said you came here because of threatening posts?
I didn't say threatening posts. I said alarming posts.
Alarming posts. Yes. Alarming Facebook posts.
Alarming. I love the pink mask matching the pink shirt. That's beautiful. Because you were talking about the mask aspect. I'm not sure this particular incident had to do with a mask. I think it has more to do with the fact that they are checking in on him because he has a contrarian point of view, that they think he's mentally unstable and might try and do something mentally unstable. That's what I get out of it. But
yeah, but the basis of that is he authored what he did was he authored an executive order for Governor DeSantis.
Oh, okay.
Basically, he ghost wrote an executive order and distributed it. And depending upon how you read it, you know, I think that's what, you know, they were wondering whether he was trying to play like he was
the governor.
This was the governor's executive order or whatever, but you know, it was an excuse. You're right. It's like if you carefully listen to the very beginning of what she was saying, and she wanted to offer him services, she's talking about getting mental help.
Right.
So
yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Because anyone that speaks against the official COVIDian line is obviously a kook. And you need medication immediately. And I know every jurisdiction has certain mental health laws where they have certain acts, certain subsections.
It's a Baker Act in Florida. That's what
right.
It's called.
We got a Section 3 or something up here. It's some Masonic number. It might be a Section 22, and they can basically arrest you forcibly arrest you and. I'm not sure if they need a medical doctor or a psychologist with them at the time, but they can drag you to the loony bin where you are forcibly confined for 24 hours minimum, where they assess you.
I believe in Florida it's 72 hours.
Yeah, and God knows what they can inject into you. Maybe if they think you if they think you need to be calmed down, for instance. It's just the possibilities are endless for the forcible injectables that they could probably give you.
And the only way you can get out then is you do then have to have a psychiatrist release you. So it's
which is not a good thing in a medical tyranny. If we're in a medical tyranny,
exactly.
These people are not going to be exactly disputing the virus theory at the moment. That's not good for their. So, yeah.
Not at all. But you know, at bottom, it is about the mask, right? But it's about how he's fighting for his rights and his wife's rights and. Or girlfriend, or whomever. Maybe it's his wife.
Yeah, I think he's married. It's his second wife, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she was going to go to the art show. So he was wanting to be proactive, just like I was wanting to be proactive with Costco.
Yeah.
And you know, I told you I got their motion to dismiss, and it was just so condescending. It would piss anybody off who read it, who is on our side. And so we responded to that, and they just sent another pithy response to that. So I got to get that out tomorrow to get some opinions on it.
Probably going to use Lawfare on you just to stall you and try and drag you out and wear you down, law of attrition, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you know my you know my feeling on fatigue these days. So it's like,
you know, if you really want street cred, you are going to have the police come to your door. We've had Chris Sky had a very interesting altercation with the police. I don't know if we discussed it. That was, I believe, a week ago.
I saw it on FakoTube. If nobody's aware of FakoTube.com, they need to go there. But I saw it on FakoTube, and it was amazing. And I've been plugged out all week, or unplugged. So was there... What happened after that? And also I want to know what happened to Kevin who got arrested.
Yeah, that's why I was mentioning arrest, because Kevin got arrested for doing the mask thing. This is what Chris has done as well, and other naked face protests have done. They've gone into stores, and they have a strategy. If they refuse service, they'll try and use self-checkout. They will take cash. They will do the totals and overpay. And that, I guess that's technically legal. You're not stealing it. So that's the angle Kevin used when Kevin's on a bit of a tour of Canada, Western Canada, and he went to Dawson Creek, which is a very tiny place, mile one of the Alaska Highway. Actually, I would like to drive that route before I die. That's definitely on my bucket list if I can't leave Canada, especially. And he went in there. He needed a bar of soap. Sometimes it seems like Kevin is setting himself up just so he can go into these stores and test them, which I'm not against if you have spare time, which he has apparently lots of, and he has a bit of an entourage now, and they wouldn't serve him. They got very mask hole-ish with him, and then the store manager came after him in the parking lot and got aggressive. I think they always go for the phone. I think he swatted the phone out of Kevin's hands, and then Kevin whacked back, and then the guy whacked back again, and then they both called the police, and then the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which is our national service, which contracts out to small towns because they can't afford, I guess, to establish their own police academies in small towns. And the office, Kevin did a citizen's arrest on the store manager. I think even John Jay explained how you do a citizen's arrest, maybe on your show, maybe. I can't remember whose show it was. So Kevin did a citizen's arrest on the store manager and to another man that came up to him in the parking lot to defend the store manager, who also took a whack at Kevin. And the RCMP arrested Kevin and threw him in the mm-hmm. back of the cruiser, and he spent 24 hours in lockup. And then he got out on a $500 bond, and he has to go back next month for court. So that's how that resolved.
But, wow, I wonder what's going to happen when he goes to court and they require that he wears a mask.
I know. I don't know. I still salute the guy. Even though he turns off people like my wife who thinks he's just sort of an a-hole, I get it. You have to be a bit of an a-hole to go against the grain, and you really are mm-hmm. going against the grain because the COVIDian cult is just everywhere.
It's
omnipresent. It doesn't matter if you're right anymore. You're just going to be the one that looks like you're the lunatic, even though you're completely right. Even though everything he's doing is right. There's nothing wrong. He's being aggressive because they're aggressive. So he's fighting fire with fire. And but they're going to use lawfare against you. They're going to find, and if you just brush up against the cop, that's going to be resisting arrest, assault. They're going to use every fine-haired, splitting hairs way to get you busted and just tie you up and tie you into knots and hope you just go away. That's really how I think they're approaching it, because they know there's no laws against any of this. It's all shall, you should. None of them are laws. All this works if you just comply and consent. They're only super strong suggestions, and they're relying on the idea that people are, in general, confused between suggestions and mandates and bylaws and laws. All that's a blur for most people. They don't clarify it with the police. They don't have strict protocols for the police across Canada or the United States. So every officer can interpret the situation any way they want, and they must be encouraged to do that because there's just no protocols anywhere. And that's where when people are interpreting things, officers are saying you're trespassing when we know you're not trespassing, but how can you educate an officer when he has to be right and you can't show him up, and especially if there's an audience, and there usually is at these times? The officer is never going to reverse his position just because he's usually a proud male. I guess some of the female cops are even worse. Because they have more to prove. So that's why I think it's an impossible situation. But good on him for trying. But, yeah, that's his story.
Yeah, I think it's his shtick to be able to get elected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he gets publicity, no doubt.
Yeah, so, yeah, I applaud him. But you're so right, this cold. I was listening to... when I was coming back from Orlando, I was listening to you and Tim, and you were, he put it so well, that this is a war on individuality. And I thought that summed everything up so perfectly, that's the war. It's on individuality.
Mm-hmm.
You put these masks on everyone, and you've just totally taken away everyone's individuality. And man, oh man, I probably shouldn't go into this, but you know, when you're doing this AA work, right, to keep sober, you know, you start having conversations with each other, and you go around, and how people perceive you, you kind of need to know that, and you perceive yourself one way, but you may not be coming across that way to others. And boy, oh boy, did I get double barrel shotgun blast, you know, for my stance on this mask stuff. They just think I'm an absolute wacko.
That comes up in your meetings? Are you a public figure, really, where you are now, do you think?
When I posted my Costco video where I recorded it.
Yeah.
Somebody in our group got hold of that, and it went around like wildfire, and everybody thought I was just an absolute whack job. I learned.
Because you know more than they do about almost everything medical with viruses. You just know more than them.
I know. And well, and that was the other feedback I got is, you know, you're really articulate, Todd, but, you know, you kind of always come across as like you're the smartest one in the group.
Are they? I don't know how you can function in that group, because talk about a crabs in the bucket situation. I don't know. It's
hard. It was hard.
I couldn't do that. I would quit if I was you. I don't think I could.
I wanted to leave a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going on a year of sobriety, and that's the score I keep. And so,
all right. If you think it helps,
if I have to put up with that kind of, yeah. You know, it put it this way. I really like the guy who I deal with directly on it,
mm-hmm.
and I respect him, and he cares for me a lot, and so. You know, if I quit, I'd be quitting on him, and I can take the rest of the shit. It's just.
But talk about a real collectivist. I hate to label it. Any kind of group is kind of has some cult-like features to it.
Oh, there's no doubt. It's and I feel confident I can talk about this because I'm pretty sure there's nobody in my group who's going to listen to.
What do you mean? This thing goes worldwide. We're on Facebook, YouTube, FakerTube, Periscope.
But my wife nailed it. She's, as I was describing it to her, she's just like, man, it just sounds like amateur psychology to me.
Well, it is. Like, I don't think that's, but it is. I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of groupthink. Is there any humiliation ritual that you have to do besides, do you have to wear a mask in this group or do they?
No.
Really? No. I'm stunned. That's surprising.
But I stayed back. Everybody went, you know, we went and played golf. We had breakfast and then we went and had a day of golf, you know, camaraderie, get to know each other a little better, you know, and then we got back to the.
What did you do when the girl with a beer cart came by?
Yeah, there was no beer cart. Somebody must have managed that. But yeah, it was like 95 degrees. And you know what? I suck enough at golf that it's like after the first couple holes, and it was a really hard course.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you lose like 3 balls the first 2 holes, it just stops being fun, especially when it's 95 degrees.
I know.
It's hotter than hell.
I gave up on golf when I got married.
Yeah, it was just painful. So
I know.
We got back, and everybody to Walmart to get the food for the weekend, right? And I held back. I said, guys, not gonna go. I said, here's my money, but I'm not gonna go. I try. You guys get what you want, because I wasn't gonna do the ritual. And that came up, you know, like, do I think I'm special boy? And I'm like, guys, it's not. Oh, one guy told me, I said, guys, this isn't an issue that has to, it's a PTSD issue that had to do with a drowning event, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you got to go through that again with him, eh? God, you must.
And then this one guy said, wait a minute. You told me that you played football in high school. You had to put on a helmet. So that was like covering your face. So he was challenging my honesty.
Yeah, here we go.
And I know. It was so painful. It was so painful. But I just grin fucked it.
I don't know how you can do it. I don't know. That's a lot.
I will tell you, I already told my wife. I said in 6 months when the next retreat is, I guarantee you 100% that there will be a conflict that I must be in Manhattan or somewhere. I'm not doing the next one.
I could make a really dumb joke, so I will. It's enough to drive you to drink.
I know.
God, all this therapy.
It's not the dumbest joke. My wife said the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's just there.
Actually, it's funny. I was talking to my ex-wife. She said the exact same thing. So it was like, I'm so glad this weekend's done.
Don't you miss the COVIDian talk and the mat and the fakery? Let's talk about that big penis stuck in the Suez Canal. That's exciting.
It's like I realize how insane everyone else is, and how I just I am so grateful to have guys like you.
Thank you.
To be able to talk about, you know, truth.
This is real therapy right here, and you don't have to go on a retreat.
No doubt. Well, it was not a retreat. It was like boot camp. It was a bad boot camp.
Did you see the did you see the imagery of the geo-tracking of this thing?
Yes. Yes.
That's a pretty tight little circle for this thing. I don't know. It's too much. I watched a bit of coverage of this, and they said, oh, here's a satellite image of the ship. Why do we need a satellite image? Can we not just fly a helicopter over it? Hello?
Right.
And
right.
Why are the clips of the ship so short and so staged looking? Can we not have a nice continuous view of this thing? Even the imagery they're giving us doesn't really look all that wedged to me. Could we not just put some chains and bring another heavy hauler over to yank it over a bit? I'm not sure.
So all I saw was the penis in a meme. So what's the deal? It's supposedly...
It's just wedged in the canal. Well, it says it's wedged in the canal. Its bow is just stuck in the sand on the side. Which I don't know. Listen, when they give us the penis shot, you know there's a problem with the story. There is.
Yes.
This is.
Yes.
Are you guys stupid or what? Come on. That's an F you to the hoi polloi, the great masses, the victims of media, as I call them, or I like to call everyone COVIDians now. We're in the COVIDian cult now. You guys, everyone's joined.
100%. It is a religion, mm-hmm. and man, oh man, is the virtue signaling powerful. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, on the way back, I stopped in a few pharmacies for my wife to help her with her job, distribute some cards. And I walk in, and there's this big ass police officer with his gun, with next to the there's a line that was like around the store of people waiting to get their jab.
Oh God.
And I walk in, and this big black dude, I mean muscle bound black dude, big old gun in his police gear, and it said EP. And so I walked up to him, and I'm just like feeling a little ornery, and like, man, EP, what's EP? And he goes, it's executive protection. And I said, whoa.
Who's here?
I said, what's the protection for? And he says, we're protecting the vaccine. And I said, whoa. And he said, yeah, there was a case in Texas to where someone robbed the CVS. For the vaccines. And I'm like, really? Now, I had been to probably four or five other CVSs that day or today. There was no EP. So in my mind, I'm like, they're doing a pilot here. They're socializing, having a police officer, you know, a big intimidating police officer, where people are coming. Now, I don't have a mask on, right? So I get the look. But he never said word one to me about the mask, which was interesting. You know, and I just talked to him like, you know, I didn't care. I'm like, yeah, really, EP. And he was very careful to talk about what EP is, you know, executive protection. And the protection part, there's three levels to get. You don't get the P. Unless you're, and I said, so you're part of Orlando Police Force? He said, no, it's private. So it's basically a rent a cop, you know.
So he's a security guard, because we've heard of Chris Skye, who's our super activist up here. He was talking about private security forces, and he was
Serco,
based.
Right.
Pardon me.
Is that Serco?
Well, maybe they offer security, but he was just talking about, I can't remember the acronym, it's PCM or something, Private Military Force or Private Military Corporation, where they said that there's the Chinese corporations or whoever is building the pipeline from Alberta to the British Columbia coast, where they're building a pipeline without even the authority of the Canadian Parliament. They have a private police force guarding the whole track, where if anyone's threatening or coming near the construction. So, yeah, and even on the No Agenda show, there's stories about John's wife lives on the Canadian border, and she sees black helicopters flying. I don't like the stories about black helicopters, but they appear to be some kind of private military force that's flying around Canada in that area on the border. So who knows what the hell's going on? Maybe the Americans are training them to fly up to the pipeline up in British Columbia and just patrol. It would make sense that a helicopter would be used to patrol the pipeline for security. So maybe the big pharma corporations, they have so much money, they're just hiring people to make sure things run smoothly.
Well, it's just more socialized mind control. But I can tell you from the group conscience, as we say, this weekend, man, oh, man, I'm on an island, dude. Right. I am on an island with my everyone is, and this was the thing that just boggled my mind. I wish you were there, man. I wish we had some popcorn and we just had like bleachers.
Where was your camera, man? Where's your live stream? You got to do, you got to get on the Instagram live stream like everybody else. The whole world is on Instagram, apparently. Yeah. Just fire up your live stream.
Ab, I'm telling you, you know, I'm getting kind of paranoid because I think I really want to go under the radar with Costco with this case because you know I really don't want to get John Jay in trouble for
he's too smart to get into trouble, isn't he?
I would think, but you know, it's the. I don't know how you would articulate it, but practicing law without a license or whatever, but I just don't know. So I'm just trying not to.
Well, it's just contempt of court. He can't go in. Did you see the guy in Michigan that the judge had him arrested because she said, "Do you have a license here in Michigan or any other state?" And he said, "No, I'm just here to represent." That sounds like you're practicing law without a license. Arrested. That guy was, I believe, a guy named Martin in Michigan. You just can't play on their stage. I don't think John Jay would be able to go on the other side of the dock. He wouldn't be able to.
No, I agree.
Be a ship ship at sea, whatever it's called when you go through the gates.
But I can tell you it's. Anyway, my point is that I just. I don't want to live stream anything on anywhere with related to any of this shit. I just want to be under the radar with any of until this lawsuit is, because I want to win it. You know, I really want to win it, and I'm trying to play it smart. And I think that I could exercise my ego and like want to talk about it to just be talking about it. And what good comes from that? Nothing. I mean, it's just what I get another YouTube channel banned and somehow I say something wrong that would, you know, come out in the court case that would screw me. I don't know. I just want to be careful.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. You know,
but I wanted to share with you that what I heard just blew me away amongst the group. They started in on the stories of everyone got COVID. Yeah, I got COVID in, I think it was April. And, man, you know, the symptoms, it was, you know, really bad cold, but yeah, I lost. It was crazy. I did lose my taste and my smell, and then boy, my wife got it right after. And when everybody was done telling their war stories on this, I'm just sitting here thinking, you guys just talked about, you know, having colds in cold and flu season. That's just what I heard. Those were the war stories that you just gave. And it just blew me away that everybody is, they have been victimized by this disease. And they won. They beat it back. They survived. They're all survivors, you know, but it is as real as real.
We're the 99%. We're the 99% who survive. Yay.
Yeah, right. 99.8. Just,
well,
there yet.
For old people, we all know, and even my grandfather, when he was 91, his heart started to beat in a poor way. And that's when your body doesn't clear its fluids like a good machine that it is. And what happens? You get pneumonia. Pneumonia is the
right.
old man's friend. It's what takes you out, man.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
what, it's a pulmonary syndrome. I don't want to call it a disease necessarily, but it's just when your
yeah.
body is not moving things fast enough. And just like the Suez Canal, things back up. And then when things back up, cells begin to die. That's when the bacteria and the bacteriophages and the exosomes move in to clear it out, because you can't
yep.
live with dead tissue in and around you, because that will be clog up your system and cause big problems. Your body is a machine. It's a well-oiled machine. You cannot let the oil go dirty for too long before
right.
things start to seize up. It's like a race car, for Christ's sake. So you
right.
need the pit crew to move in and clear, move things along. And so
that's
really, that's probably the 1% of older people that die. They get pneumonia because of all the breakdown, mainly of age, of their system.
Yeah.
But we don't hear those words anymore. Pneumonia, we don't hear. All these words are gone. Just because we're in the world's biggest marketing campaign in the history of the world for a product that is really chemotherapy or mRNA, or it's not a quaxine by their own definition. It's a therapy, and it has a 95% effective rate to make your symptoms of the so-called disease maybe better. How subjective is that?
It's crazy. Ab, there were lines around the CVSs. Lines. Everyone 6 feet apart. There was one group of four people who had double masks and the gloves on and the shield. It was 95 degrees. And
yeah, wow.
It is crazy. But these are, I don't know, man. Let the culling begin. I guess that's,
well,
that's about it.
Because we are, I believe we may be on the dark matter radio network right now. I think Tim, by the way, shout out to Tim Osmond. He's now a Patreon of Fakeologist.
Right.
Thank you so much. And Zyphus made a lovely donation at fakeologist.com/donate. And he's on the fakeologist.com donor list. There's a special page under the donate. And I got my first Monero donation from Walker.
Nice.
He recommends everyone who doesn't have Monero, you could just go to localmonero.com, and wherever country you're in, it'll bring up where you can purchase Monero. And
yep.
I said, just send me a test, because I have a Monero wallet on fakeologist.com/donate. I said, send me a tiny bit, and 22 American cents came through, whatever the Monero
awesome.
Equivalent. Yeah, it came blasting through. He said, I don't think the transaction cost was much. So, yeah, fantastic.
I was gonna tell you that I know you offer, people can donate with Bitcoin, but you
yeah.
know the transaction costs are so damn high with Bitcoin. I was going to suggest you switch that to something else that doesn't, you know, that
mm-hmm. Sure.
Would encourage people to donate with. It's kind of like you're not going to buy a cup of coffee for $5 and pay $8.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they are. So, yeah, that's fine. I just put it there in case people, because it's obviously the most well-known one. But, you know, Adam Curry is working on Podcast 2.0.
Right.
And apparently there's going to be some kind of protocol where even while you're listening to a podcast on a supported yep. player, you can maybe shoot 10 cents to the guy, which is exactly what I want to do, or pay per use. So if you listen to 8 hours, you can set whatever you want to pay per hour for this guy, for instance. Such a great idea.
Yeah, he's a visionary.
Yeah. So I also on my podcast, I've just enabled it. So when this podcast gets uploaded, if you're using a podcast app that's supported, like on Android Podcast Addict, my website will shoot a message to your podcast program. So it'll say, hey, this is a new one. It's ready to download. So if it's in between your download times, which for the most part, it's not really going to be a big deal for most people. They can get the podcast the second it's uploaded and ping to your phone. So that's pretty cool.
Those are small things.
Small mercies.
Is Marcus still butthurt, or did
I haven't heard from Marcus? Marcus is always welcome to call in. Haven't heard a word. That's just a rumor that he's not talking anymore, or he's doing a solo thing. But I don't know. No news on that.
Okay.
So you're okay. Yeah, you're pretty much caught up. Yeah, what did I, let's just look at fakeologist.com for a minute, /blog. Sure. That'll give me things to talk about, because really it's becoming more clear. You see, I'm not totally convinced right now, that the vaccine, the quaxine is to kill us or to cull us. I really think the end game is definitely the quaxine passport, which will lead to ID 2020. It's all going to be synced, so your money, your medical, your everything is going on this digital ID. And if you live in somewhere like Sweden, you're going to have the chip in your arm, because apparently, in my opinion, one of the reasons they left Sweden alone is because that country is so wired. There are probably quite a few people walking around with chips in their arms, so they can just scan themselves in and out, their medical records on there. So it seems like they already are where they want the U.S. to go. They already are inventorized human beings for the convenience of getting a pop without reaching into your wallet and getting your credit card or a couple coins, that kind of thing.
Crazy.
So I think they're already far enough along where you are a tagged animal. You know, obviously, when hunters or natural resource people, they want to track animals, they basically just tag them, and then they can follow them around with, I guess, cell phone signals, and then they can record things that the animals are doing. That's what they want to do with humans.
Yeah.
Convinced of it.
Speaking of tagged animals, tomorrow, anyone who isn't subscribed to ZammyPup.com, or not .com, ZammyPup on Instagram, tomorrow, probably by 9 o'clock a.m., I'm going to upload a little movie that I made this afternoon, which was when I got back, I went on my cigar walk, and I walked by this pasture. And there's this cow that had gotten through the barbed wire like halfway through and was caught in it.
Oh, dear.
And this was a large, you know, it was a bull. I mean, it didn't have horns. It was kind of a baby bull, but it was like, it was a big boy, you know. And it's like it couldn't get in or out, you know. And the barbed wire was in its back. And so I just went over there and I stepped on the lower barbed wire and I lifted up the top barbed wire with my hands and hoping it would just back out. But instead of backing out, he just jumped through. So I called 911 and I'm just sitting there trying to, you know, the bull started eating the grass over there. And so he was cool. He wasn't running, but I didn't want him to go get in the traffic and get hit, hurt himself or anybody else. So, Uncle Odd, I spent an hour corralling that guy, waiting for the police to come, and then finally handed it off to them and walked back home. But I'll have that movie up on Zammy Puff tomorrow. So I ended up naming him Houdini.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what? How did it end, though? You can't leave us hanging, for God's sake. What, they shoot it, or what's a cop going to do? Tell him to wear a mask? That's about all they can do these days.
It was so funny. The cop came, and he's this young, like 6'3" black dude who just, his eyes were just wide open when that bull just stood up and looked at him. And I said, "So what are we going to do, boss?" And he goes, "I don't have a fucking clue." And I'm like, "Look, you know, this is bigger than us. You need to call agriculture control or somebody." I said, and the reason why that story even came up is when you're talking about tagged animals, we noted that there was a whole herd on the other side of the fence, and he was the only one that didn't have an ear tag. So he was not tagged, and so then I'm joking. I'm like, "Look, dude, we don't have to report this at all. It's like, you know, you can take half, I'll take half.
That's funny.
We'll eat like kings for." And I said, "You have the firearm there." So that was fun. It was a cop engagement where it wasn't about a mask.
Yeah,
that was kind of nice.
Although he was probably wearing one up to his eyeballs.
He was not.
Strange. I guess he wasn't worried about spreading COVIDs to the bull.
Dude, we're out in nature next to a pasture. I'm thinking there's not a lot of COVIDiots out there, you know?
Well, still, come on. I thought it'd be policy for the county or city that he policy applies to members of the corporation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he didn't. Maybe he drove up. Nah, there's no way. No, he was really a cool dude.
He probably just thought it was Uncle Odd. Nah, there's no way he's taking any bull.
But that was kind of fun. That was a little excitement in the life today after getting the shit kicked out of me by, you know, some shrinks.
Yeah. But a post I've got here, Quaxine and virus are the smokescreen. I'm not convinced, although I'm still not going to take it to the best of my ability, that the Quaxine is there to kill us. Maybe not this round. I really think it is to just scare people into this submission to using I'm going to call it the everything passport. It's going to be called a vaccination passport first, because that's what's going to make people believe that it's really important and really required, because the part of the masking is just to give the idea that we're all toxic, and of course they're all one-way masks, so if you're not wearing your mask, you don't care about me, because my mask only protects you and not me. Your mask protects me. The way they've tangled that up is just amazing. But that's why you are looked at as a super spreader, because they're only one-way masks. So there's nothing.
That was a feedback I got. I was like, I was sharing with one of the guys. I said, "Look, because we went out to we were responsible for dinner last night, so we went and got chicken wings, and so you know we picked them up, and I was not wearing a mask, and everybody in that restaurant, you know, waiting for takeout and stuff, is wearing a mask, and I just said, I said, Kevin, I just hate freaking going out. I said, I look at everybody here and it like gives me such anxiety, because I know that people are having a difficult time breathing. I just want to, it gives me anxiety." And he says, "Well, what kind of anxiety do you think you give them? Because you're not protected." I said, "Just think, you got to stop thinking about yourself and think about how about these other people who look at you with fear?" I'm like, "Fuck." everybody is just so brain dead.
Well, yeah, I really think it is because you are selfish. You are not helping protect them from you.
That was the narrative.
It's the one-way mask. You think if you're wearing a mask, it should protect you from anything floating around you. So,
right.
How is it?
Yeah. You guys should be good. I'm the one that's taking my life into jail.
Yeah, exactly.
You're taking the risk. I wish I could wear a mask, guys. I wish I could. Fingers crossed behind my back.
But I think the end game that people, and Chris Sky has eloquently said this on many broadcasts, the end game is the quaxine passport, but it's even more than the quaxine passport. They want to track and trace and control every bit of you. So they're going to let you go into stores and let you move around, but they just want to know every movement. So that's where you're going to need this thing, because it's the only way they're really going to absolutely be able to track most people. I mean, there's going to be people that can get around it and buy their way around it and probably get fake this or fake that to move around society. There's always going to be an underground society, no matter what.
Find it.
Yeah, I think we should all find it. But for the majority that are going along with it, that do everything as they're supposed to do, they're going to be completely track and traced. But the vaccine is the threat to get you into that technology. Because if I just told you, listen, Uncle Odd, we want to just basically see what you're spending your money on. We really want to know where you're going all the time. I'm pretty sure most people wouldn't go along with that. That's not happening. I'm not doing that. But if I tell you your life's at risk if you don't do this and you are threatening other people with your bad behavior and I'm going to convince all those people that you're a big threat, yeah, you're going to do this. So that's the end game.
Here's where that falls down on me.
Yeah.
Or breaks down for me. Is that you have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. We're already tracked and traced by our own, you know.
But it's, Well, in a minor way you are. They want way more information than it's giving right now. Okay? They need everything checked in. They need all your bills downloaded. They need everything. And this is not really, this is going to be, you would not voluntarily enable that. You would not voluntarily enable the absolute two-way communications between your phone. And what if your phone was turned off when you went into that store? So you didn't want anyone knowing where you were. Well, now it can't be. So this is just the next level.
But I guess you look what's happening over in Israel, and that is where it's going.
Sure.
And so then the question is, to what end, or for what end, or why? I mean, I don't think it's so that they know everything that we're doing. There's something there. It's to be able to ultimately have such control over every.
Oh yeah. Well, this is going to help control where you buy your house, where you live, where you work, how you access government services. Yeah, there's way more to it. Yeah.
It's going to be the control of doing whatever the hell, you know, the state says.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. It's a communist wet dream. There's no doubt about it. It's a totalitarian.
That's the best way to put.
Yeah. This
wet dream is
because they got the technology now.
That needs to be a title of one of your blog posts.
A little too sexual for me. You know, I'm a bit of a Puritan.
Yeah. Yeah, you are a Puritan.
But seriously, that's what it is. So I'm not sure they're trying to kill people with the quaxine. It can't be good for you. I've said this for a while. At the most, it does nothing. At the most, it could probably kill you or create a reaction. Because I still am convinced that all the adjuvants and the metals and whatever they do to pretend this works, and that goes for all quaxines all the way back 100 years, I really do think it has something to do with all the autoimmune disorders. And of course, you know, my daughter has probably one of the worst disorders, got to be diabetes, which is where her pancreas is completely fried. And, you know, they might say, oh, your immune system attacks it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure autoimmune is, I'm not sure I believe that. I think it could just be straight up chemical poisoning where, okay, she had enough. Right. She had enough of this or that in the Quaxine and just went in there and burned out her pancreas. Because the pancreatic isles of Langerhans, whatever creates insulin, they are most susceptible to, say, aluminum or whatever toxin is in there. They soak it all up, kills them, they're gone. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think your body attacked necessarily your own self. I think...
But
something like that. But we don't know because they don't investigate it.
By the way, I'm thinking I dig this more just calling into you than going on the Zoom. It's just so much easier.
Well, you don't need you don't need to do your makeup. How long does it take you to do all your makeup?
Well, you know, and it's the hair and the nails.
Yeah,
and,
you really go. You look good on your shows.
And then when you require that I wear a mask, I got to make sure the mask, matches, and it's just a pain.
It is a lot of work, and you got the lighting, and you're distracted with your teleprompter. And...
No, I would do it all day long. I just, the UI, the user experience.
Yeah. Well, you can concentrate on the content when you're doing audio only. You don't have to worry about all your master controls and your spaceship you're trying to launch from your studio there.
I like my Zoom. Your interface, where everything was so small, it just was distracting to me. So I thought I'd rather be able to just listen and have a conversation.
I like conversations too. But to me, that's where the end game is. I think there's so many things they're trying to do with the Great Reset. I think they're trying to get rid of the education system because I think most people would agree that it wasn't changing quickly enough. The technology's there where we can have the best math professor for everybody. We don't need to pay one guy in every town to show up and try and teach math. We can probably do it.
They're destroying the kids.
Yeah. That's the worst part. And the idea that you can't socialize.
Destroying the kids.
They're breaking all the horizontal connections. And they're...
Right.
Everything is vertical with the state. That is what we have to fight. The end game is we have to avoid the jab. Now I'm using it. We got to avoid the Quaxine, and we got to just keep liberty where we're free to. See, they don't want us to be free to build a subdivision or pave over some nature.
Right.
They don't want any of that. I'm sure of that. By the way, I think someone told me I'm actually delivering some nomorelockdown.ca signs, and. It cost me a lot of time and a lot of gas to do it, but I enjoy it because I go out with my daughter and help her practice driving. And almost every trip so far, I've met at least one person that's made it worthwhile. Someone's come to the door.
Oh, that's cool.
They wanted to engage. They're completely awake. And one person I met yesterday said, I got her number. I don't know if she'll come on the air. But she knows Chris Sky, and I said, you know, there's a couple of people think Chris Sky is an actor, but he's so genuine. He's really doing a great job if he is. So I still apply that he's the real deal.
I don't think he's an actor.
But then I thought, well, how does this guy do all this all day long? How does he make money? And then she implied that his dad has big money and ties to... the real estate development game, the house building game, at least in the Toronto area, some of the richest people in Canada got rich building out Toronto, the suburbs.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's plugged into those guys, and she dropped a couple names, so I went and looked them up, and they're all in the top 50 richest Canadians. We're talking in the billions. So, you know, he's got money behind him, and they think he's also protected in that way. Because you don't mess. It doesn't matter where you live. You don't mess with money. And just to bring it back to how money works, I do believe that we had a PSYOP for drunk driving a few years ago. where it's my theory that the richest people that are benefiting, especially from the system and are being allowed to run their billion-dollar businesses, have to lend their name occasionally for PSYOPs. So one of these super rich developers, his son allegedly was drunk and plowed into a family of six at an intersection up in the area where they develop and where they live. So the whole thing seems super psyop-y to me. The mother seemed like an actress. And that's when that helps cement my idea that, okay, the super rich have deals. So this guy, he did go to jail or club fed or whatever you want to call it for a little bit, but he's already out. And I thought, no, I think it's more likely that this was a staged event where he's lending his name just because they're in the top club where they do benefit from the system and they're billionaires, basically. So
I think you're overthinking it.
All right. Same with Hinckley. Well, even Hinckley, the guy that shot Ronald Reagan. I don't even think he's a real person.
It could be. You know, once you get to a level to where there's CIA people involved, maybe that.
Yeah.
But like with just regular rich dudes who were entrepreneurs, like, you know, my boss and all the people I've ever met through him.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, gifted their billion. You know, they earned it. They freaking, I remember Michael, I can see him when he just pulled over, got to the office and had pulled over because he'd had like a little heart attack. And because we were so close to the company being bankrupt and he was just so stressed and, you know, he worked through that and then turned that around to where sold the company, you know, founded Priceline.com and then sold, you know, Synapse Group to AOL Time Inc. for $1 billion. And I remember when he was bankrupt.
Well, there's different kinds of billionaires. I'm just talking about the plugged in people around.
Family money may be different. You know, I don't know. I just think that look, people get rich. And I don't necessarily think.
I know, but when I want to build my subdivision and there's a million regulatory roadblocks in the way, you're going to have to pay people to make this thing happen before the 100 years goes by. That's my thinking.
I agree, but I don't think there's some kind of pact with the devil saying, all right, we'll approve this. But let me tell you, your firstborn son, when he becomes of age, he's ours. We're going to use him for a psyop. That's what I just get.
Or if he's a real person. Like I said, I don't even think John Hinckley's a real person. But they use the Hinckley name because the Hinckley family is plugged in with the Bushies and they benefited from the system. So they might have just used the name. You see what I'm saying? Lend the name and they just hire an actor to play the long lost or the black sheep of the family son. I think they're pretty complicated. Yeah. Well, I had to bring some fecology into the show tonight. Come on, you gotta let me work this in. But
There was something recently. Man, this is gonna bother me. There's somebody who's a real famous. Oh, Bill Gates.
Yeah, Billy.
I heard somebody talk about that he wouldn't give his kids. Vaccines grown up. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Stop. Time out. Why the hell do we never hear about Bill Gates' kids? Have you ever seen a picture of them?
I think there was a few family photos, allegedly his children.
But what are they doing? What are they doing? Are they somehow involved with any business or any? That boggles my mind that Bill Gates' kids aren't front and center, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it fair game to go after them? I don't know.
You would think of Trump's kids. I mean, you knew he had kids, and they were in the news.
A lot of them were public we're in public positions as well.
But I'm just, my mind is boggled with all the wake people that are out there. There hasn't been anybody who looks at this evil mofo and hasn't tried to say, okay, two can play that game. Let's find out a little dirt on you, Billy. Let's see what your kids are up to. You know, has there not been one single person out there, an investigative journalist or whatever?
There are no investigative journalists. I think there's a few decent ones, and Kevin J. Johnson said he was one, and he seems to be willing to get in people's faces. But overall, I don't think there's any mainstream investigative journalists ever.
Yeah.
We got a couple. We got a couple up here in Canada that I like the, I believe, Press for Truth, even though he's way off on 9/11 and whatnot.
Yeah.
He still sticks the microphone in some inconvenient places, but Kevin J.
Right.
Johnson seems pretty sincere. I was listening to his Myanmar story where I don't know why the heck he decided to go over to Myanmar and see what's really going on, but I think what was happening,
right.
He found out that the Canadian government, the Saudi government, he was told that they were involved in paying some down and out people from Bangladesh to go cross the border and go slaughter people for promises of leaving Bangladesh for Canada and the Western nations. And I guess if that's the ultimate goal of people that are in severe poverty to come to these countries, then maybe they did do that. And it appears they were there to go move populations away from valuable coastline and clear the way for another Chinese superport. Because people in general, when they live in a place and they don't want to move, that's, again, you talk about problems for commerce and business. There's only a few ways to make people move. You know?
Right.
And
I learned something this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About cocaine.
Oh yeah, is it good?
Know, some folks in our group are. It's not just alcohol that they've had issues with, but other stuff. But and I guess this makes all the sense in the world. But you know, the best place to be if you're a drug user is in a port city, because that's where you get the good shit that isn't cut and cut and cut
before it's redistributed.
So the further you get inland, the more shit you get. But apparently the stuff that's right off the boat. It's funny. I guess druggies just figured this out, and they know where to.
I think the shrinkage from any product at the port is probably really high. You want the first car, you want the best beef, whatever.
Right.
There's probably quite a... port tax, as it were, by whoever controls those people.
So you know, if that holds true with the vaccine, you want to be in the middle of Kansas to get your vaccine, I guess.
You get the real watered down version of whatever. Well, you know,
right, brother.
We've been going about an hour. That's a good call.
Enjoyed it. Thank you for keeping me sane.
All right.
I need a little dose of ab tonight.
All right, good. Well, thanks for calling. And unfortunately, from this phone system, I don't know if I have other people on the line. It's a problem with this system. So if I had anyone else on the line, I'm sorry. I'll hang up on Uncle Odd and see if another call pours through. But I can't tell if anyone else is on the line, unfortunately. So.
Is there an option on your phone service? Can you get?
Well, I just sent them a message and they said they don't have that feature. So,
no, they don't.
But they said they would consider it. So it's a bit of an issue. So I'll have to see if there's anything I can get.
Can you port that great number over to anywhere else?
I don't know that either. Actually, I think Tim Osmond moved his to some interesting system. So. I'll have to look around. So if Tim Osmond or anyone listening knows of any phone bank system, since we are taking calls, that I can visually see.
I like calling and talking to you, but I don't want to hog the line for other callers.
No, that's good. Well, we'll figure it out. There's other ways to reach me on Discord, and I've been watching the Discord, and nobody has alerted me over there. Okay. But there's other ways. All right, brother. Thanks for calling. All the best. Have a good night.
All right. See you, buddy.
Take care. All right. Just hung up on Uncle Odd. Just for a laugh, we'll wait a minute and see if anyone else comes through on the 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984 or on the Discord. Didn't really get a chance to go over the blog because obviously we talked to Uncle Odd. Oh, here we go. Let's see what happens.
Hold time, 7 seconds.
Oh, this, you weren't holding at all. Fakeologist.
Hey, this is Tim Osmond. I'm on hold. I called in, and it has a very nice response. So, yeah, for your information, I'm using Ring Central. And today, for the first time, I tested out the feature of conference calling.
Yeah.
So I had a guest, and I had a caller, and they had a nice interaction there. Crystal clear.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that I looked that up when you mentioned that. They want a pretty penny, though, for every month, it looks like.
Yeah, that's the one caveat. I mean, it's the best that I've worked with many things.
Yeah.
However, it does have a monthly cost attached to it, but we get so much use out of it here that
yeah.
It's not a big deal. However, I did just forward my number mm-hmm. right on over to that one.
Oh, you just forwarded it, yeah. Oh, I mm-hmm. see.
But the interface is nice because you get a nice soft little ring. It's barely even a tinkle. And you see the person's name, and then someone else calls in, and you can just add them. And so, you know, it's probably the best thing I found so far after struggling with everything else. But again, it always comes down to that final thing. The best stuff is always going to be monthly, just costing quite a bit. So it's kind of a trade-off.
So as they call in, they show up on a screen and you can see they're sitting there waiting for the phone to be answered?
Yes, exactly. Now, I haven't gone through and done all the settings, you know, with the hold message. But, yeah, absolutely. And then you can add, mute, kick out, et cetera, just as you can with Skype or something. It's a very easy user interface.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's about $50 a month, I think, isn't it?
Probably. But like I said, especially now, I have a lot of guests coming up in the future. And one of the things I want to do is I want to start having the chatters who are always very active actually call in and ask their questions directly, which is a nice thing. And I like what you're doing here with the live stream. I'm actually watching on the YouTube channel, but
okay.
You know, it's nice to have that chat. You know, you get a lot more input from other people.
No, I know. I learn a lot from you and how you're running it, and you're always willing to try new things, and I like technology. And we're just trying to rope as many people in as possible without being – I think my YouTube channel just got a strike, so – I'll just have to set another one up, so no one should get too used to the channel. That's why I have forwarding to whatever channel's available. fake11.com/YouTube2. That'll always be my second channel. I don't use my first channel because that's where I have all my subscriptions, so I can't have that one get blown away. So that's
That's one of the nice things about being part of a network
mm-hmm.
is that people that go to darkmatter.radio, well, there they have instant access to your content. And because mm-hmm. YouTube channels come and go. In fact, last night during a live stream, my largest YouTube channel was pulled in the middle of the stream.
Yeah.
No explanation.
Well, they don't need to explain. It's their sandbox. I don't begrudge it. It's annoying, but I don't want to do an entire show complaining about a YouTube censorship because that's pointless.
It's not even censorship. I wear it with a badge of honor. I just think, okay, well, obviously we're saying the right things. And I have so many channels. It's so redundant that I just replace them. But I just use YouTube to bring people to my own platform.
Yeah, right? No, you have to. That's so smart, yeah. Yeah, for some reason, people love YouTube. And I guess it was the biggest and the best. I think they're the best part about YouTube censorship is that there's other platforms growing up because now there's a lot of interest and there'll potentially be money. So other platforms can grow up. That's how business is supposed to work.
Right. Well, I've moved on over, you know, to Odyssey. I mean, I respect YouTube's decision to censor it. You know, it's their business and,
yeah.
You know, people can debate that point, but to me, it's really a matter of can you obey the rules? And if you can't, can you structure your message to get around it?
Yeah.
And I try to also do that. You know, I'm not out here trying to be a martyr for some free speech cause or something, because that's not really what it's about.
No.
To me, it's more about the culture anyway. If the culture is a bunch of snowflakes,
yeah,
they're going to censor you. It doesn't matter about the First Amendment.
I agree. And they labeled my strike medical misinformation. And the only story in the world for the last year is COVID's. That's medical. So I'm going to talk about it, and I'm not going to talk the way they want me to talk about it, because that, I think that's wrong. There's just so many problems with it. So everything I say is going to be misinformation according to the CDC or whoever else influences YouTube or Google, unfortunately. So.
Yes. We have to challenge their arbitrary standards. They will label satire and hyperbole as dangerous medical misinformation if you don't correct them. I did a YouTube video and I made a joke about nanobots and demonic possession, and they took that to be dangerous misinfo. I challenged it twice and I got my channel restored. And I just did it to make the point that they're a bunch of bullies, and if you let them dictate culture, they're going to burn all the best stuff. And they have been.
Yeah, well, other platforms are growing up. I hope they censor everybody and keep them off, and something else comes up. And in the meanwhile, I got my own platform, FakoTube. But people know YouTube, so people are always going to be there until it peters out and dies, if that ever happens. If the state decides to stop funding it, or sponsors or the big corporations move away from it, it'll disappear. But then Google will just buy another startup, just like apparently Microsoft is going to buy Discord, and they'll destroy that and run it into the ground next. That's business.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good heads up. And I didn't realize how compromised Discord was until they took your channel down.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's a library of information that they just destroyed.
Yeah.
So.
And I told everyone in my Discord, please put your stuff on my forums. I'm not going to transcribe everything. It's too much work. I don't have enough time. But because Discord's easy to use, it's the old drug dealer trick. They just lure you in with free, easy, it's there. And you had to wonder, how could they run a big server like Discord with millions of users and all the hardware it would require to run smoothly? How long are they going to run that without really any noticeable income stream? But if their end game is to sell to the big boys, okay, that's their business model. You run it for as many years as possible. You give away the smoothest, slickest service. And then you hope that some big corporation like Microsoft or one of the other big boys needs a big write-off, and they buy it for some insane amount of money that makes absolutely no business sense. And so two guys to split $10 billion, that's a pretty good payday. Or whoever else.
Right.
Or unless InQtel started Discord, which is entirely possible, and then said it was started in a garage.
Well, it's good to have that heads up that even Discord, which is like a refuge for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
isn't safe. BitChute isn't safe.
No.
They're really, you have to go independent, and I appreciate what you've done with Fakeologist, because
yeah.
I like to keep a running record of reality to mm-hmm. contrast with the media from the state, just
mm-hmm.
a way of maintaining a continuity of sanity in the world. And so I appreciate what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'll leave the line open for
Thank you. Well, I usually end it in about an hour because I don't want to burn myself out if I come on 4-5 times a week. So thank you for testing, and I'm always watching what you're doing. And if you say this ring thing is worth the money after you've beta tested it for maybe a few more weeks, we'll take a look at it and see if we need it.
Right, right. Okay, cool.
All right.
Good talking to you.
All right, thank you. Take care. There goes Tim Osman, great caller, and he's really trying to build something here on darkmatter.media. And as long as I have the time, I'm happy to help contribute in any way. We have tons of overlap. Of course, Tim's show is always on my top list of podcasts. It's hard to focus and give all my energy to just one podcast because there's so much out there. But whenever a PSYOP happens, IPS is right on it. And we don't have to agree on every single topic. And God knows I don't agree with people on my own server in many ways on different topics. But overall, if we're all under of the fakeologist persuasion, where we know that everything we see is not as it seems, and we question it and we look at the official narratives and pick them to pieces, then those are the kind of people I want to hang out with. Okay, well, maybe we'll go over the blog tomorrow. We'll go over the blog tomorrow and whatever else I pile on to FakoTube and Fakeologist.com. And please test out my Monero donation. Go to localmonero.com and you can buy a bit of Monero, and go to Fakeologist.com/donate and slide me a few fractions of a Monero is fine. I think Monero is $250 per. So obviously you don't have to buy one. You can buy a fraction of one or whatever else comes down the line. Whatever crypto blockchain type currency comes on to podcast 2.0. As soon as I post this audio, it should push out onto your favorite podcast 2.0 compatible device. And on the Android, it is Podcast Addict. I don't know which device. I'm not sure what the name of the program is on the iPhone that would be able to receive it directly and quickly, but I'm sure someone can give me a heads up. Or if you listen to the No Agenda show, he's talking about it usually every other show as well. All right, we'll end it there. And thank you for calling in. It's March 28th, 2021. And this was the Fakeologist speaking. Good night.